this standard of like, well, I want to be able to say, you know, I'm a teen author, or right. that I got published as a teen. If that ends up happening and that ends up working out in perfect timing, then cool. But if it doesn't, like, don't beat yourself up about it. Like, oh, I'm about to turn 20 and I haven't published anything. I'm a failure. I haven't been a teen right. prodigy.
We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. We're thrilled to have you here. Today, this episode is for all the young writers out there, or all the new writers. This advice and these points and methods and ideas we're going to go over are great for young writers. So if you're a teen writer, or if you're younger than a teen, or if you're a young adult writer of any kind, these are going to be some great ideas for you to process and make your own and use as a springboard for your process as you move forward with your writing life. But this also applies to any new writer of any age. So we're going to be going over some great advice for young writers and new writers. Some things you can bring into your practice to really ground, get rid of some of the anxieties that can arise as a new writer or a young writer, and really get the most out of your writing practice. So grab a notebook, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and let's really lean into this. We're really excited. We know a lot of you guys on our collective channels are young writers, and we want you to know that we see you, we hear you, we're glad you're here, and we're excited to delve into this and help you in your writing practice. But before we get started,
we first have to thank you guys. You are our sponsors. You make this show possible. So thank you so much for supporting the podcast, keeping it alive and free of interruptions. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and join the Patreon at any level to help us to keep this show alive and also get access to monthly live hangout sessions with me and Kate. On the last day of every month, we come together for a live stream hangout with you guys. All the patrons, whatever level you are at on the Patreon. And we get to chat about our books, hang out, talk about writing, talk about some things that have been on our minds lately. And yeah. You guys get to suggest topics for the show. It's really fun. So we hope to see you over there. And of course, it's always so helpful. We are so grateful for your support of the podcast. So click the link below this video to support the Patreon.
So, young writers, you're excited about starting out. Maybe you're working on your first novel. Maybe you're working on a nonfiction book or any type of book. You're excited about starting on this new journey. And you're wondering like a whole bunch of things. Like, when should I publish? When should I be thinking about putting my first book out into the world? How many, you know, books do I need to be writing before I publish my first book? Or is my book good enough? There's like a million different things going on in your mind. And we know because we've been in that exact place. Mm-hmm. And the number one piece of advice that we've gotten and that we can give is to just keep writing. And I think that can sometimes seem like, oh yeah, you know, sure, I'll do that, but, you know, I still have to think about all these other things. But really, even though it sounds simple, we often overcomplicate this. Mm. We really need to focus first and foremost on just continuing the practice of writing.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, and that's something that, like you said, you know, you get overwhelmed by all the other aspects of it, like publishing and editing, and you see other writers out there, you know, putting their work out, and you get excited and somewhat anxious to go and do that, and you're like, I want to do that, I want to share my work with the world. And maybe there are ways for you to start sharing your work with others without necessarily going, you know, jumping all the way to that step that's really far ahead, right. Far down the path. I know, like with me and Kate, when we first started getting into writing and sharing our work with others, it was through fan fiction. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that in the podcast before, how fan fiction can be a great way to start to, you know, get comfortable with sharing your work with others. Yes. And getting feedback and getting that reader response, which motivates you to keep writing. And it's such a wonderful mixture of things there that you can experiment with, whether you're writing fan fiction or you're sharing some original work or something like that, original characters, your own stories and premises. Find ways that you can start to share your work without having to, like, you know, jump all the way down the publishing path, you know, to a place where you feel like you're not ready for that yet. Like, it's okay to just keep writing, like right. You're saying, you know, it's okay to just play and experiment and get creative. And if you want to share some of that, go ahead and share some of that. But don't, like, take it too seriously. Don't right. Take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, is letting go, like Abby was saying, that anxiety of like, oh, you know, I see other people, you know, doing this and this. Just focus on your own work. Keep your eyes on the road right in front of you. Keep your eyes on your own lane, on your own path.
Yes.
And think about, what are you writing right now? Mm-hmm. Just keep writing that. Ask yourself questions like, am I passionate about what I'm writing? Do I feel good about this? Do I feel good about the direction? Not from a place of judgment or self-criticism, not analyzing the work itself, but just how you feel about the work. Are you stoked about what you're working on?
Right. Are you, like, excited to get up every morning and write it?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, and with, like, publishing and expectations, I think a lot of people can feel like, I see a lot of teen writers who are like, oh, I want to publish my first book while I'm still a teen. Mm-hmm. And while that is an awesome aspiration, sometimes it's not always the right time to do that.
Right.
And so it's better to trust your instincts on it and not hold yourself to this standard of like, well, I want to be able to say, you know, I'm a teen author, or right. that I got published as a teen. If that ends up happening and that ends up working out in perfect timing, then cool, awesome. But if it doesn't, like, don't beat yourself up about it. Like, oh, I'm about to turn 20 and I haven't published anything. I'm a failure. I haven't been a teen right. prodigy. Like, you don't have to be right. a teen prodigy or a child prodigy to be an incredible writer. Maybe your writing needs a little bit more time and refinement before mm-hmm. you feel confident sharing it with the world. And that's right. okay. You're like 10 years from now, you're going to look back and want to be proud of what you produced, not be able to say, oh, I published that when I was, you know, 15 or whatever, but I really wish I had waited a few years.
Right.
Like, you will wish that you had taken the time, whatever time it was, and maybe you end up publishing when you're 15 or 16 or 17, but you want to be truly proud of it and confident
yes.
in it.
Yes, and that confidence comes as you keep writing.
Yes.
As you keep writing stories. So experiment with lots of things. That leads us to our next point, which is, don't be hard on yourself. Make mistakes, try new things, experiment, and find what serves you. So try lots of stuff, like try different genres. Mm. See what genre you like writing in. Do you like writing fantasy? Do you like writing contemporary? Do you like writing first person or third person? Really play with all the different tools you have in your quiver here and see, what do you actually like to write? And you can only find that through experimentation and trying different methods, and even things that come down to the actual process itself, like what time of day do you like to write the most? Mm-hmm. When do you find the most inspiration? Where do you find the most inspiration? Learning all these little things about yourself will help you to enhance your writing practice, but it can only come through not being hard on yourself and letting yourself make mistakes and mm-hmm. let the process be messy.
Yeah.
Art was never supposed to be a neat and tidy thing, and writing is art. So I want you to think of it as an art. Think of it as an art. So when you look at a painter's studio, a lot of times you'll see lots of messy canvases with different things and studies. I love this idea of studies, which is painting something that isn't really the final version of it. Mm-hmm. It's just an idea to see, what would this feel like to paint this? And then maybe one day I'll paint this in a finished work. Mm. Think of your writing like that.
That's cool.
Do a study, you know, just do something for the sake of, I want to just see, what would this feel like to write something like this? So maybe flash fiction or, like Abby was saying, fan fiction. You can really learn a lot through just playing around.
Yeah.
Let this be a fun process, especially for young writers. Like, just play and have a good time and just really find some things that make your heart hum, that you really resonate with you. And you'll be able to use those as building blocks to strengthen your practice and make it even better. But do not be hard on yourself. Don't use harsh words of judgment and criticism. Don't be overly analytical of your work. All these things are not going to serve you in a positive way. They're not going to bring you forward on your journey into brighter, more positive places. It's not going to take you to that next step. It's going to, a lot of times, drag you down or cause you to, fall into complacency. Like, oh, I'm not a good enough writer. And now you find yourself falling out of the habit of writing. Why? Simply because we're adopting negative self-talk. We're letting those negative voices of fear come in.
Right. Yeah, so true. And the way you talk to yourself and talk about your writing to yourself is so important. And I think there's a level of like detachment from the work itself that helps to make you less judgmental towards it. Because if your whole identity and your sense of like self-respect and self-worth is wrapped up in how high quality is this thing I wrote, that can very easily be deflated if you feel criticized or you even criticize it yourself. Maybe nobody else reads it, but you read it and you're like, ugh, ew, that was worse than I thought it was. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, am I even a good writer? Maybe I suck at this. Like, the reason why you think maybe I suck at this, maybe I'm not a good writer, is not reflective of, you know, how good you actually are. Mm. This one thing you made is not necessarily reflective of your potential.
Right, exactly. You know?
It's not. Yes. And like you were saying with painting, like artists will, you know, paint a study of something that it's like, if they looked at that and said, oh, look at how lousy that is, I must not be a good painter.
And then
it's
just
like,
stop painting.
And just stop painting.
Don't paint
anything. Then you're never going to become a better painter.
Yeah, and all of, right, exactly. And all of this stems back to, over time, at least in Western culture, there's been this departure of writing from the rest of art. And even though it will still be talked about as, you know, part of the arts or whatever, it's really looked at through a different lens than like painting and sculptures and music and dance and theatricals. Those are kind of in their own, like, it's almost like this group of artistic talent. And then there's writing, which in the writing sphere, it's somehow not okay to make these mistakes, and now we're super critical. But yet if you applied those same that same personality, if you would, to painters, if you were watching a painter behave like a writer, you'd be like, what is wrong with this person? Why are they tearing their work apart? Like, you see that painters and sculptors, they play, they explore, they try new things and make mistakes, and they make stuff that, you know, will never see the light of day, and it's fine and no one cares. It's just about, what does this make me feel? What do I want to express here? What do I want to try? Right. And we need to bring that back into writing. When we cross over to writing, we have hard and fast rules, and we get upset very easily, and we get very critical of every single, you know, mistake that we make, instead of being, let's just enjoy, let's just write whatever we feel, let's write ecstatically, let's write to just explore, like, what does this feel like to write something about this, and just play with it, see what happens. We need to bring that back into the arts.
Yeah.
Because that's really how it needs to be treated. It needs to be treated just like you would with painting, sculpting, dance, theatricals, whatever. It needs to be treated with that same sense of exploration and expression and
expression,
play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. The word expression kept coming to me as you were talking. Mm-hmm. And that's something that like kids do very naturally. Mm-hmm. You know, like little kids express themselves very naturally through art, through dance, through drawing, through writing, like we did, you know, when we were younger, we were very drawn to writing and making picture books and stuff. And that's something that when we did that as little kids, it wasn't like, well, you know, how good is this? Is, you know, is it free of errors? Is the grammar perfect? Right. Is the story structure right? It was like, it's just a free flow of creative thought. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, you know, make it playtime. Children are known to be like on the highest spectrum of genius level creativity. I've talked about this before. There's a really interesting study that was done on children to see how creative they were, to see how high they scored in like genius level creative tests. And they found that 5-year-olds had more genius level creativity than like 30-year-olds, and even more than 10-year-olds or 15-year-olds, same kids that they came back and studied every 5 years. And you can watch their creativity and their genius level imagination decline over the years as they become more learned and more educated. And you know, that's another topic for another time, but for the sake of creativity in kids, I think a lot of what's happening there is they're not judging themselves, criticizing themselves. Mm-hmm. They're using what this study called divergent thought, which is when, you know, you're not comparing your thoughts to other people's thoughts or what's been done before, what's tried and true and proven. You're just thinking outside the box.
Right.
And that comes from a place of not being afraid to make mistakes, not being afraid of criticism, not being afraid of judgment, because all of that's tied up with like the identity thing, you know, like your sense of ego and sense of self being tied to the quality of this thing and how many people approve of it or give it 5 stars or whatever. So letting go of all of that, we've talked about this in a previous episode, that the biggest mistake new writers make is being afraid to make mistakes. And you have to make mistakes in order to become better. I mean, like, it's the same with other art forms, like you were saying. You know, have you ever seen a musician who has only ever played everything perfectly? No, they have to practice a million times and make mistakes and work through those mistakes and practice it some more. Same with painting, same with dance, same with anything.
And many of the great artists, when they first started making what we now consider remarkable work, was highly criticized at the time that, this isn't real art. You know, this is controversial. We don't like this. This is, you know, bad. We don't like, it's not good. It was criticized. So you have to just let it come from your heart and not allow external voices to shut it down, whether they're external voices or voices in your own head, which kind of ties into our point, our next point here of do not compare yourself to other writers. Like Abby was saying, don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you're making mistakes, you're doing it right. And don't be comparing where you're at right now in your author career, or in your writing life, to someone else. And there's like that saying that's like, don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 20, which I understand what it's saying there, but I would go even farther than that to say you're in a whole different book than that person. You're not even in the same book. It's not that, oh, well, you haven't gotten up to where they are. It's that you're on a whole different path. You're on a whole different wavelength. You can't be comparing where you are to where someone else is because you're on a totally different path and this path is unique to you. Only you will walk this path. Only you will write this book. These words that you're writing now are uniquely you. So it's kind of dishonoring and disrespecting your own sacred process to compare it to someone else's. So fully let yourself embrace that this is your process. This is your moment. This is your energy, really, flowing out of you into this beautiful work of art. And respect it for that. Let it be what it is.
100%. I agree. And if that means you have to detach from certain things that trigger comparison, then do that. Like you talk about that a lot with like social media. And I know a lot of young writers are connected to social media, and sometimes it can be a blessing because you get to communicate with other writers who are doing the same things and you feel this sense of community and belonging, because writing can be a lonely art sometimes. But there's also a line that sometimes the tipping point between like camaraderie and then comparison. Finding that tipping point, and then when you feel yourself tipping over the edge, don't fall off the cliff. Instead, say, okay, you know, I'm gonna take a break from Instagram, or I'm gonna take a break from whatever online writing community you're part of. I'm just gonna set that aside for a few days and just think about my book, my project, my path.
Or if it's like you're doing word counts with your friends, like, you know, how many words can we write in 30 minutes, and your word count isn't as much as someone else's. Again, if this was painters, let's say this was painters, let's see who can paint the fastest in the next 30 minutes. Whoever has the most painted wins. You would be like, what is going on? This is so weird. But yet we do it as writers. Doesn't make sense. Isn't conducive to creating art. Now, I'm not saying word sprints are, or is that what they're called? Yeah. Word sprints.
Writing sprints or word sprints.
Yeah. Like, it's not bad. Like, if you find it helps you write more, then cool. Then that's what it should be used for, is to have fun. But if you find that you're, why can't I write more words? You know, all my friends write more words. Or if you're comparing yourself, then stop doing that. Mm-hmm. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, only use the tool is only a tool insofar as much as it is helping.
Right. Exactly. It's like, right? It's like motivating you to be, yes, to like be actually typing the book instead of, you know, scrolling through TikTok, yes, or whatever.
Right. So if it's helping you, cool. If it's causing you stress, anxiety, comparison,
yeah,
then release that. Let it move on and move on to something else. Our next point, which we were touching on this a little bit earlier, which is don't worry about publishing. Don't worry about it. Let yourself enjoy the process here and now. Mm-hmm. Even if you see other people being published, oh, look, that person got published. I need to be doing this. It's like, again, you're taking your eyes off your own path. And take like these constructs off of yourself of, oh, I need to be published in this amount of time. Why?
Yeah. And also you might find,
you know, why?
That, like, the more you write, especially if you like only have one book and you're like, I want to hurry up and publish it.
Yeah.
You might want to write more and write more works in, like Katie was saying earlier, different genres, try different things, because you might find, oh, I actually really like writing this other thing, or this new series, mm-hmm, came out of nowhere, and now you don't want to be locked into, mm-hmm, publishing that first book that you wrote when you have 2, 3, 4, 5 other books that you've explored and learned through and found what you really love and, yeah, enhanced and improved your writing, and now you're like really, really proud of it. You want to lay the building blocks of your reputation as an author with the book that you are the most confident in and most proud of. Mm. And you might not even be able to do that comparison if you have only written like one thing and you want to just hurry up and get it out there. I understand the excitement for sure, but it's always, always helpful to give yourself more time and to just take it easy.
Yes.
Relax, take a deep breath. Enjoy the process and find, like listen to your heart, mm-hmm, on it. No, don't just listen to the external sources that are pushing you to publish.
Yes. And the whole thing will just feel so much better. You also don't want to publish your first book and then look back on it as, oh, remember that stressful time when I forced myself to publish a book just because I wanted to publish a book really quickly.
Yeah.
You want to look back at it and be like, oh, that was a really fun process. I really enjoyed every single part of it because it came from a place of peace. Let it come from a place of peace, not a place of anxiety and stress. Yes. And if you're someone who has ever heard the lie that you can't really say you're a writer until you have published something, let us just put a big red X through that lie right now, because you, yeah, are a writer because of the fact that you write. You, yes, have stories in your mind and heart, and you're allowing them to flow out of you in written word. You are a writer. Mm-hmm. You do not have to publish something to be a writer. So I dare say probably some of the best writers have never published anything.
Yeah,
so really just, you know, some of the greatest storytellers of all time have just told stories. Like, I mean, that's what we have when you go far enough back in history, before things were actually published in book format. You had the oral traditions of stories being told and passed down. Mm-hmm. So that's story, and being a writer, being a storyteller, it comes from the heart.
Yes.
So if your heart is in it, you are a writer. You are a storyteller. And let that be deeply affirmed inside of you. Mm-hmm. Another point here is to learn the editing process. And I think this is a really valuable one. And it ties into what we were saying, especially what Abby was saying a minute ago, with really learning your own process. Give yourself time to discover like what genres and, you know, what types of books you like writing. Another thing is to learn how you like to edit your work. That can be something you don't really think about until the publishing process, but really you should think about it way ahead of time. Is how do you feel when you go back and read through your work, and how do you edit it? Learn what your editing process is like, because that's something you'll use forever as a writer.
Yeah.
Writers really are just as much editors, yeah, as they are writers.
Like, exactly. I like to say that you don't even need to be a good writer. You just need to be a good rewriter. Mm. Because you can rewrite even the worst thing and you can make it better. Mm. So if you have the ability, if you can cultivate, and everyone can cultivate and learn the ability to look at your own work of what you have written and revise and rewrite and edit it to make it better, that is a superpower. Mm. And you would be very wise to spend a lot of time cultivating that superpower. Yes. Because that will serve you so well in your entire author career. The ability to objectively detach yourself from your work, look at its problems, see the areas that need to be rewritten or adjusted, and to make those adjustments and make it better, mm-hmm. that is so, so valuable and yeah. so powerful. And it will make you a better writer because it will give you the ability to learn from what you did not as well and then be able to do it better the next time you
exactly.
write
it. Exactly. And
your next first draft yeah. will feel like a third draft.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yes. Yes. That's what I was going to say was that it takes time. Like, I know it took me a long time to find like that comfortable place with editing. It really took me a while to find my groove with what my editing process was, how I wanted to methodically go through a book and see what I could do to make it better, because you really want to do those initial edits yourself because it's going to be a much better experience for your editor. It's going to help you build a better relationship with your editor when you don't hand them an extremely messy manuscript and they have to dread that every time. It's gonna build a better relationship with your editor. And it's also going to end up costing you a lot less depending on how they charge. You don't want to have an incredibly messy manuscript that's going to take enormous amounts of time to get through, which is going to also cost you more. So, or if you're going through a traditional publishing process, it's still going to be the same scenario with it. We'll build a better relationship with them, and you're not going to ever want to hand over a messy manuscript to an agent. So really taking your time to discover what your editing process is yeah. and learning how to self-edit. It's really an art. It's just as much of an art form as writing the first yeah. draft. Editing the first draft is like frosting the cake and decorating the cake and making it all look beautiful and perfect.
Mm, yes, good analogy. So true. And it's that like perfect finishing touch that makes us want to eat the cake.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, exactly. Right.
So true. And our final point here is to really discover what you like to write about, which we touched on a little bit in the beginning, but it's so important, and it's what comes through time and practice and writing and enjoying that process. You know, you learn through experience what you love and what you're attracted to and what you like to write about. There's no other way to learn it, you yeah. know? Even if you're reading all the books on how to write a novel and how to craft a story and how to build characters, and you're just filling your head with all this knowledge and all these techniques that other people have used, you're still gonna have to go through all those, all that trial and error of the actual thing itself. You're still gonna have to go through the experience of it. And your brain is so much more optimized to learn and to grow and develop and become a master of a thing when you're experiencing it versus just intellectually learning about it. Like, you can look up studies about this. It's really quite fascinating. But the experiencing the thing itself, mm-hmm. it taps into the curiosity area of your brain, and it just like opens up your learning capacity so much more than just, you know, digesting a bunch of intellectual thoughts,
right?
You know, from a book or whatever, from a course. And it can help to, of course, get that advice and those techniques sometimes. It can help to implement some of those things, but at the end of the day, you have to, you know, you have to do the thing. You have to
right.
sit down at
and
your
it's
desk
going to feel totally write. Different too. You're right. Like yeah. it'd be like if you read a bunch of books about the ocean and the beach and what a beach is like from a scientific standpoint, what sand is made out of, what types of dune grasses might grow there, different animals that live in the ocean, different fish, and you read all this stuff, it's still not going to be the same as going to the beach mm-hmm. and walking on the beach and feeling the waves splashing on you as you walk into the ocean.
Right.
That experience is going to be different than reading about what it's like. Mm-hmm. So there's some things you can only experience firsthand when you try it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to writing, so like true. You're saying with story, You have to see, well, what does that feel like for me personally? Mm-hmm. Because that's what you bring to it, is your personal experience as an individual.
Yeah, so true. And you become more become more trustworthy of a master in something when you have experience. Like, you, mm-hmm. you wouldn't want to, you know, go in for like open heart surgery or something, and the surgeon who's operating on you just read a lot of books about open heart surgery, but they've never actually done this before. That would be scary. So there are some things that you can only learn through experience, and then you pull on that experience to, okay, now, last time this happened, but I'm going to do this time. Mm-hmm. And you learn through that process of practice, time, and making those mistakes. Sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's a little bit frustrating. But if you can move through the frustration and be gentle with yourself, be compassionate, and look at the process the same way you would be advising your friend if they were in this, you know, if they were a writer, maybe you even have a friend who's a writer, talk to yourself like you would talk to that friend. Mm-hmm. You know, don't beat yourself up. Don't be overly critical, just like you hopefully wouldn't be overly critical of your best friend if they were writing a book for the first time. You would want to encourage them, but you'd also want to push them and stretch them and help them to grow and improve their writing.
And realize that this is like anything else.
Yeah.
Anything else, if you're trying a new sport or you're trying a new, you know, hobby of some kind, you're not going to do it like perfect textbook the first time.
Right.
It's something that you play with and learn and reach new levels of, and just, and Abby and I are the same way. We're still learning our writing process.
Yeah.
Every time we sit down to write, it's different and new. Each book is different and new. Yeah. So that's just
keeps it
the way it is. It keeps it interesting. It would be boring if it was the same time after time after time.
Yeah.
That exploring element would be gone and it would be much more dull. So embrace the discovery.
So true. So hopefully you guys took a lot of notes. Let's just recap real quick what we talked about today. What to focus on as a young writer or a new writer who's just starting out your writing career. First and foremost, just keep writing. Keep writing, write as much as you possibly can, as often as you possibly can. Don't be hard on yourself. Make mistakes, try new things, experiment, play, find what serves you. Do not compare yourself with other writers. Find that balance between camaraderie, and if it starts to, you know, fall into the comparison trap, don't go there. Distance yourself. Be kind to yourself. Don't worry about publishing too quickly. If you feel like you're not ready for that, then just take your time. Take your time. You're going to be so happy you did later on. Learn the editing process, because if you can rewrite or edit any messy thing that you end up writing, that is a superpower, and you will become a better writer through editing your own work. And finally, discover what you really like to write about and just throw yourself into this explorative, experiential learning, because that's what's going to bring you to this new level of understanding, this new level of skill, is through actually getting your hands dirty, getting on that keyboard or in your notebook with your pen and scribbling around and trying new things and just enjoying it, having a fun, explorative, adventurous writing process. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this discussion. We would love to hear from you now. So join the discussion, comment below this video, tell us what you thought. Are you a young writer or a teen writer or just a new writer who's starting this out for the first time? Maybe you're even an older adult, but you're starting writing for the first time. It's so exciting that you are embarking on this journey wherever you are in life. So we would love to hear your story. And also we would like to invite you guys to check out our stories, our books, because we are both indie authors and we have been writing for so many years now and working on a new series, actually, which you can join the waitlist for that series that's linked below this video. But me and Kate respectively have books out on writing separately, our own books. I have three books out. Kate has a six book series.
Yes.
So all these are linked below the video as well. We are indie authors, so we don't have any big publishing house, you know, with marketing forces behind us. So we appreciate so much every single individual one of you who checks out our books, reads our books, puts them on your shelf, finds a home for them, cuddles them, loves them, kisses them, annotates them, and tells other people about them. Yes. So definitely check out our books. Kate has a amazing urban fantasy series, and I have several cozy contemporary books if that's more your jam. So all of those books are linked below this video as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I invite you to check them out because, like we always talk about, making your story matter. Mm-hmm. Kate and I are really passionate about that.
Right.
We try to weave meaningful messages and meaningful themes into all of our books.
Right.
So that it is not just like the oversaturated book market of meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
We try to bring some deeper thoughts and ideas into everything that we write.
Yeah, and everything we talk about here on the show is really funneled into our own writing too. So we would love to, you know, invite you. You guys have been a part of so much of our writing as we've gone on these respective journeys. This is my latest book, Searching for Sparrow, and you can find all of my books linked below, as well as all of Abby's books. And you can kind of see like some of the stuff we talked about even woven into the stories too.
Yes. 100%. So check those out and comment below, join the discussion, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, because we post this podcast every other week. We would love to invite you into the community and have you guys be a part of this amazing writing community here on Kate's channel and my channel in the Kate and Abby Show space. Also, if you want to support the show, keep it alive, keep it free of interruptions, you can join our Patreon at any level and you get access to monthly live hangout sessions with me and Kate. Every month, at the end of each month, we have a live hangout with you guys, which is super fun. So if you want to get in on that, check out the Patreon. The link for that is also below this video. Thank you guys so much for watching today. We hope to see you in the next one. Until then,
stay stoked
and rock on.